This week on Brilliant, I've got a fatal feline, a tedious tapping, a young mother who had a series of dream visitations, and I'll look at a strange case of teleportation from Buenos Aires. So kick back and relax while Uncle Alan tells you all about this week's bizarre offerings. I'm Alan Brill. Welcome to Brilliant, a podcast from the mind of Brill. Warning, it gets dark in here. Howdy folks. Man, I've missed you guys. And if this is your first time listening, welcome. I think you're going to have a good time. Now, there is a zoo in Denmark that is doing some creative problem solving. I saw this on CBS News, August 5th, 2025. A zoo in Denmark is asking the public for donations of unwanted small pets or horses to feed its captive predators. In quote, in zoos, we have a responsibility to imitate the natural food chain of the animals in terms of both animal welfare and professional integrity, Aalborg Zoo said in a post on social media. The zoo in Denmark said that chickens, rabbits, and guinea pigs were an important part of the diet of its predators, which need whole prey, reminiscent of what they would eat in the wild. Quote, if you have a healthy animal that has to leave for various reasons, feel free to donate it to us. The animals are gently euthanized by staff and are afterwards used as fodder. That way nothing goes to waste, and we ensure natural behavior, nutrition, and the well-being of our predators. So, well, there you go. You got a pet that's being a pain in the butt. Give it to Denmark Zoo. They'll feed it to their predators. And I think in this next story, we might have a candidate for this. When Dmitry Ukin's cat, Stoyopka, went missing near Leningrad, Russia, he spent 2 days looking for him. Dmitry's efforts ultimately proved successful, and he brought home the, quote, chunky ginger cat. The cat wasn't so much grateful for its rescue, and it showed its displeasure by swiping at its owner's leg, tearing open a vein, and leaving a deep scratch with blood heavily. Unfortunately, Dmitry was a diabetic, and as a result, his blood did not form clots properly. His wife was away, and he was left alone, and with nobody to help him, could not stop the bleeding by himself. It says, eventually, he got around to calling his neighbors to inform them that he was dying, which I guess was thoughtful. And then they called emergency services and then rushed over to help, but failed to stop the bleeding in time. And by that time the medics arrived, Dmitry had bled to death. The cat, I assume, didn't care. I like it. His first call, eventually, as he thought he was dying, was to his neighbors, who then called the paramedics. Could have probably cut out the middleman there. And yeah, but hey, they do things different, I suppose. We're going north of the border for this next story. Beginning in the summer of 2020, a Canadian man, known to us only as RK, who was living in a bank of flats in North Vancouver, began to be tormented by a tapping noise coming from his bedroom ceiling. He could not find the source of this maddening sound, and by January of 2022, it was seriously messing with his sleep. So, it had been going on for a year and a half, which makes me think that it very slowly picked up in intensity. He asked his upstairs neighbor, Alan Zanuck, to help him find the source of this tedious sound. But apparently, Mr. Zanuck more or less told him to piss off. I find it interesting that our protagonist goes by an alias. But the author of this article had no problem putting Alan Zanuck on blast. Dude does sound like a bit of a jerk, to be honest. This mystery noise was now gaining momentum, and by April 2022, it had escalated to percussive strikes, tapping, scraping, dragging, and clunking noises, which kept up day and night now. It was just small tappings at night. Now it's all this cacophony of sound all day long. RK made over 100 recordings of this sound, he was using a sound meter app, and by using this to record it and to look at the data, he was able to discover that it peaked at about 73.8 decibels, which is comparable to a vacuum cleaner or traffic. Uncle Google calls it a loud and potentially annoying noise, an average decibel level of 58.2. A maximum of 30 decibels is recommended for good sleep. So, I mean, not a terribly loud sound, just what Uncle Google called it, potentially annoying, but it is well above what you need to get good sleep. And just, it seems to me just loud enough to torment a person. It would be absolutely maddening. You just could not get rid of the sound. And it, you know, it's a tapping, clashing, these kind of sounds. So it's not just a steady sound like a fan to provide white noise or something. It's, yeah, this would be maddening. Now, our man RK made 443 noise complaints to the management of the apartment building there, but they could not find the source of this mystery noise. They did, however, discover it was only audible at RK's apartment. Now, despite not knowing where the sound originated from, they find Alan Zinnook's grumpy ass a whopping $42,600. $42,600 for, quote, antisocial behavior. I love Canada, man. I really do. But, I mean, is that like a rude fine? Don't be a jerk up there, because it's expensive. Now, Zinnook took it to tribunal to get it reversed, pointing out, and I think reasonably so, that since neither he nor his wife could hear the noise, they couldn't control it. And he's like, hey, you know, it's probably one of the building systems, which, yeah, I would think so too. So the management company turned off the heating and cooling systems. Noise still there. And they went, they sought expert advice. They got some subcontractors in, and they completely drained the systems. But a representative from the management company, he could still hear the noises. And what caused those noises and continues to cause the noises is still a mystery. So, I mean, what do we think, brilliant listeners? It does sound like they went to great expense to rule out any, you know, mechanical sources for this. And yeah, I would think they probably covered their bases pretty good. So I think we have to consider that, you know, this might be a poltergeist, right? Extremely annoying, tormenting poltergeist. I mean, it is localized to RK's apartment, and it did slowly ramp up in intensity, and it stayed at that perfect level just to torment a person, which would give it, you know, plenty of food if that's its goal. But it did level out at just making tapping noises, no opening cabinets, doors, no furniture moving around, you know, walls didn't bleed, none of that, you know, stuff. So, I mean, it's kind of not poltergeist behavior either. It's, you know, it had the first stage and then fell short of infestation, so I don't know. It is indeed a mystery sound. I don't know. Maybe Zinnook cursed him. Can't work out the details on that. It doesn't seem likely, but I don't know. This is a real mystery. So let me know what your thoughts, your theories are in the comments. Let's get a little discussion going on this. Slap a comment on there, and yeah, we'll enrich our little community with some discussion on this mysterious and tedious tapping sound. That would be annoying, though. Okay, now we're going to hear from a young lady. I'd like to welcome Ray to the show. She has an experience to share with us, and we can't wait to hear it. Ray?
So I had a few dreams back to back of my grandpa sitting on my couch, and I was taking a nap, and Anyways, I was taking a nap, and he was just sitting on the edge of the couch, and we were just having a conversation. Well, the next day, I had another dream, but it was my best friend's mom that had passed away, and it was the same scenario. She was sitting on the couch, having a serious conversation. I don't remember any of it. And then a few days later, I was sleeping on the couch again, and my cousin, Vern, had popped up in my dream, and she was sitting on the couch having a serious conversation, but I don't know anything of the conversations. So I had called my mom, and I was asking my mom about it, and I told her that if my son hadn't said anything about a gummy bear song, that it would definitely creep me out because he's never heard that, but that was mine and Veronica's song at the time, whenever she was still alive. And so a few days later, she had, Emmett had mentioned something about a gummy bear song.
So that pretty much confirms
Yeah, creeped me out a little bit. I mean, I didn't know what they meant.
Absolutely, yeah. And with him verifying, that's more than just a dream at that point.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it would be a little creeped out to know that you're having a serious conversation, but not know what it was or trying to tell you would be.
Right, I couldn't recall any of the conversation. We were sitting there just talking. They looked serious. I was serious. Everything was serious, but I don't recall anything.
Yeah, that would be the hard part. But mm-hmm. It sounds to me like your ancestors are just coming down to visit you. So.
Well, I hope that's all it is.
Yeah, surely. And hey, thanks for sharing the story. I appreciate it a lot.
You're welcome. And
definitely food for thought. So a series of visitation dreams from her loved ones, but just how frustrating to sense that they have something that appears serious to tell you, but just not be able to communicate it. That would be dispiriting for sure. Dreams are fairly commonplace for our loved ones to visit us, as sleep is a liminal state. And clearly a dream is just a dream, can be a dream. But in Ray's case, we have confirmation that this is more than a dream. I love how she told her mom that if Emmett started singing the gummy bear song, then she would know, and then Emmett started singing the gummy bear song. Someone was listening, and they were trying to get her attention. I recorded this one a while ago, and the visits seem to have stopped, and I'm happy to report that everything is going well with her. But still, you gotta wonder what it was they were trying to say. I tend to think they were just checking in, just letting her know that they're watching over her. And also, you are all very welcome for having the damn gummy bear song stuck in your head. That's the true haunting. Okay, this next case begins in the enchanted land of Argentina. It starts in the Buenos Aires province on June 3rd, 1968, where Dr. Gerardo and his wife were attending a family reunion at the home of Signor Rapalini in the town of Chascomas, just off Route 2. Near midnight, they left with another couple, relatives who were also close neighbors with the Vidals, in the town of Maipú, about 80 miles down Route 2. The Vidals followed the other couple, in their car. The Vidals were in their car, they were behind them, and they took off down this lonely highway. Now, the Vidals' neighbors made it home without incident, and since the Vidals were only a few minutes behind them, they waited for the doctor and his wife to pull in before they headed to their house. And after several minutes passed and they didn't show up, the neighbors grew concerned that, maybe they got into an accident or had a flat tire or some other kind of car trouble. And, even though it was late, they decided to retrace the route back to Signor Rapalini's house. They made the entire return trip, the entire 80 miles, without seeing the relatives. And so, they turned around and drove it again. They drove slowly this time. They're really checking out the ditches, making sure there are no signs of an accident, that they went off the road and they missed it the first time coming down. And saw nothing. No car, no signs of anything. So when they made it back home, they called the Maipu Hospital, and they were informed nobody had been brought in, or at least the relatives hadn't been brought in that night. It really seemed as if the good doctor and his wife had just disappeared off the face of the planet without a trace. 48 hours later, Senior Rapalini would receive a call from the Argentine consulate in Mexico City. It was Gerardo who implored him. He said, "Hey, stay calm." And he told him about his impossible situation. He and his wife were safe. They were fine. And they'd be flying back to Argentina and needed to be picked up at the airport. And, you know, a crowd of astonished relatives, family, friends, they met him at the airport. They were still wearing the same clothes they had on the night they disappeared. And Mrs. Vidal was taken immediately from the airport to a private clinic, having suffered, quote, a violent nervous crisis. Despite being warned by the consulate not to issue any public statements regarding their teleportation, a journalist from La Razón newspaper was able to piece together the bizarre tale from comments made by Gerardo and interviews conducted with his relatives. This is a story based on a translation of the account. Dr. Vidal and his wife left Signor Rapalini's house a few minutes before midnight. They followed the first car close enough that they always kept the tail lights in view, but they stayed back far enough that their headlights wouldn't, you know, mess with them while they drove. Now, just past the suburbs, they are forced to slow down to a crawl as they are enveloped in a dense bank of fog, and then they were only aware of blackness. Again, fog, telling you. So, enveloped by the fog, only aware of blackness, the next thing they know, they're in broad daylight, traveling down a road that was completely unfamiliar to them. Dr. Vidal got out of the car to investigate and discovered that all of the paint had been scorched off of the vehicle. The doctor flagged down a passing car and asked for directions. Nonplussed, he got in the car and informed his wife that the man had said they were just outside Mexico City. Mexico City, another continent and several thousand miles away from where they started. I'm going to tell you here, this is a doctor that I want if my life's ever on the line. This cat is nails in an emergency. He just found out he was on a different continent, several thousand miles away. He's like, "Okay, hey wife, don't worry. This is what I found out. We're in Mexico City." "Yeah, that's cool. Well, let's keep trucking." "Ice. This dude is ice. You can't shake this guy." No, so they drove in to Mexico City. They drove to the consulate. And there they found out it had been 48 hours had passed in that moment that they blacked out after driving into the fog. The story goes, and this is unconfirmed, but that the United States retrieved the car for study, and they replaced it with a new one for Dr. Vidal. That is rumor. These are undisputed, confirmed facts of the case that Le Raison laid out for us. The admittance of Vidal's wife to a clinic upon their arrival back in Argentina. The proved arrival of the couple on a non-stop flight from Mexico. The disappearance of the car. The involvement of the consulate. And the phone call to Signor Rapalini from Mexico, which was confirmed by La Razón. And the serious attitude of the police in Maipú, which, yeah, I guess that's a fact. I guess it's a hard fact. But those are the hard facts of this case. Undeniable, proven facts. Although, you know, I see no reason to dismiss Gerard's account. He seems very credible, but it is just testimony, and testimony is, you know, anecdotal. So, I mean, what the hell happened here? Let's start with the dense fog. It's like 2 weeks in a row now. Fog has played a major part in our story. In the case of the terrible flying jelly bags, that wasn't a case of an attempted alien abduction. So, you know, good place to start as any. For an alien abduction, the missing time fits. Usually, people report being abducted out of their vehicles, but I got no reason to think that they couldn't just take the whole thing if they wanted. A lot of abductees report being returned close to where they were taken from, if not exactly where they're taken from. It's usually, you know, like across, really close. And in this case, it was far, far, far away from, you know, where the initial encounter would have been. I mean, although they're put back in a country that spoke the same language, so there's that, which turned out to be really convenient. The paint being scorched off the car, could that be from radiation? Sadly, Dr. Vidal would die less than a year later in early 1969 of leukemia. And that timing would leave one to believe that it could very well be from like a massive dose of radiation or something else associated with the spacecraft. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it came from a UFO. Cancer happens. But, you know, can't rule out alien abduction. Now, again, I'm going to start with the fog in this next speculative theory of mine. And there are many theories that fog comes through from another world, realm, reality, what have you, whatever you want to call it. When there's a rift in the veil, like maybe their pressure is different and it sucks it through, kinda. So dense, unnatural fog can be an indicator of a, you know, a rift opening up. Intense heat, radiation, that could very well be the part of the process of traveling through like a wormhole or what have you. And it would also explain the missing time. But I think the good doctor and his wife would surely have been, you know, baked in this case. And, you know, they were fine. The outside of the car was scorched. Inside, apparently fine. And with the exception of possibly giving Dr. Vidal cancer, physically speaking, the couple were unscathed. Which is just weird. Which, you know, I love. So, I got no solid theory here. Could a natural rift in time-space, another dimension, alien abduction, something else entirely. It's a weird little story, man, and I love it. It's just a delicious mystery. But wait, there's some more here. Now, shortly after the Vidal's ordeal, several other cases of people in South American countries being teleported to Mexico was reported. A young newlywed couple in Brazil stopped along the side of the road in Rio Grande do Sul to rest when they were overcome by drowsiness. When they woke up, yep, they were in Mexico. Also in Rio Grande do Sul, there were two young men traveling by jeep into a dense fog bank. And the next thing they knew, Mexico. Again, dense fog bank. Another rumored teleportation had a young man in Rio de Janeiro ending up in Mexico. The details in all these cases were very scarce. They just got to mention. And then they reported in an issue of Flying Saucer Review. And I apologize, I don't have that issue number or the month. Again, the report of dense fog, very interesting, but I mean, no sources, no strong details. I'm not really going to dig into or speculate on these cases, just giving them a quick mention, because I mean, if they are true, it seems like for a period of time in the late 60s there was a portal going from Brazil to Mexico. Well, hey, thanks for hanging out. and I'd really like to take this opportunity to thank my sponsors, but I don't have any. And if you like what you heard today, hit that like and subscribe and share it with your friends. Let's grow this thing. Leave a comment. Leave a comment on your theories about today's subjects, about, you know, dream visitations, about teleportations, about the mysterious tapping noise, or, you know, give me some feedback, or just say howdy. And if you have a story you'd like to share with the class, send it to me at brilliantpodcast@gmail.com. That's brilliant with a Y. Why? Because I love you. BRILLYANT podcast, all one word. You're listening to it, so you probably know how to spell it. At gmail.com. And once again, thanks for dropping in. And I'll talk to you next week. Until then, be well, but be careful, because it can get dark out there. I sourced the tedious tapping from 40 and Times, issue number 458, June 2025 issue, and The Strange Journey of Gerardo Vidal. I got the bulk of that information from the great Brad Steiger's book, Things That Go Bump in the Night. I use it a lot, so you should definitely check it out. And hey, thanks for listening, guys.